My faith and my money. Alright. Matthew 11:28. So we look at from verse 25, O Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Even so far I seem so good in your sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Again, the background of this was that John, the one you call the Baptist and doesn't like to be called that, John, the prophet, he sent certain disciples of his to Jesus. He said, go ask Jesus if he is the Messiah, who should expect someone else. And Jesus said, The same John that said, behold the Lamb. And he said, yes, the same one. And he said, okay, tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is the man who is not offended in me. And so that means, listen very well, sight to the blind and healing to the sick is one of the core or hallmarks of the Messiah. Does that make sense? So the way you are going to know the Lord is that you are going to see sight to the blind and healing to the sick. But much more, Jesus now says, Father, you have revealed it to the babes. The wise and prudent cannot see it anymore. He now says, no man can know the Father except through the Son, which is Him. And nobody can know the Son except by the Father. Listen to verse 28. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm saying this properly misused. I mean bastardized and buttered, you know. I say, come to me, all you that labor, and we see someone who is poor in the physical, material wealth wise. You see someone who is not doing well financially, and then you say, God says, come to me. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I will say the rest is financial liberty. I've had the word with you now. There's a way, if you put it, financial, that more I'm looking at you directly, because I know you know it. Financial what? Financial freedom. I know you know it. You work in a fintech, so you should know it. Financial freedom. So, you say, Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give financial freedom. I wish he could. He can meet need. But you see what you call financial freedom, like Bezos' own. You work. Amen? But that's not what Jesus is saying at all, because it has no bearing on material prosperity. Come to me, all you that labor about knowing the Father. We taught this properly in Explaining God in Christ, series 2. All you that labor about knowing the Father, about the knowledge of the Father. So the labor and the rest are about knowledge. Father, you have hidden it from the wise and prudent. You have revealed it today. So it's about revelation. So when it says, all you that labor, what will be their labor? That they don't know the Father. Because they can't see the Son. So, all you that labor and are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So when it says, take my yoke upon you, it's not sickness. We've seen so much that what marks the Messiah is healing. So it can't be, the yoke cannot be sickness again. When he was just told John that the sick are healed. Is it making sense? If the sick are healed because he's the Messiah, his yoke cannot be sickness again. So, take my yoke upon you will be to learn of me. Learn of me of the Father. That is, the way you are going to know your Father is to take my yoke upon you. And we look at that word yoke, which means it's actually for agreement where your core, listen very, your core belief is. For example, the core belief of an average Nigerian student, let me just say, average student anywhere, will be, you read your book, you pass your exam, and you graduate. Right? So I believe that when I read my books, I should pass my exam, and I should be able to graduate my class. That makes sense? That's a yoke. It's something that you are, another Paul will come and say, don't have an unequal yoke. That is, and in our podcast talks about an agreement. That is, your perception of life and ministry should not be the same with an unbelieving person. Is it making sense? You should not have the same convictions, you should not have the same persuasions. So a yoke is not burden, as it were. A yoke is a system of belief. A system that you feel works. A system you build your life after. Aha. And that's what Peter was saying in Acts 15. Why have we put a yoke on the neck of the disciples? Acts 15:10. Our fathers are unable to bear. Acts 15:10. Why have we put a yoke? That is a system of truth. A system of truth upon the neck of the disciples, which we cannot bear ourselves. So when Jesus comes in Matthew 11:29 and says, take my yoke upon you. It's not sickness. It's not disease. It's not poverty. I've seen people use that. You see a pastor who does not have money, as it were, which can happen to anybody. And you say, he's taking God's yoke upon him. No, now. Okay, what about the one that is not a pastor? That is not even a Christian? Are there not people who are not Christians who don't have money? This is common to mankind. Is it making sense? Aha. So, again, you can't call that one a yoke. The yoke is knowledge. Take my knowledge upon you. So how do we take his yoke upon us? We look at his teachings. We look at his doctrine. His doctrine now becomes our system of truth. So rather, listen very well, rather than frame my life and pattern after what this world teaches, I will now take the teachings of Jesus to know the Father. I'll take the teachings of Jesus to walk in light. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So, the yoke, the body, the rest, the labor, all revolves around the knowledge of Christ. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. And we now start to look at his yoke and the teachings of Jesus about money. And I told you that, I think it was in that last time we had this, I told you that out of 38 parables or thereabout that Jesus had or taught, 16 out of them are about money and possessions. 16. So, it's not something a preacher of the gospel can shy away from. As much as, personally, my personal bias, I don't like talking about money much. I think it's obvious. I don't like talking about money much. You can go to JC Media and search. But yet, it must be taught. Because a pastor must not be selective. You can't be selective. And we've taught this before. I'm teaching it again. Because we have to teach it. It's part of the core doctrine of the Christ. So, Jesus taught, and one of the most remarkable one I would say about material possession would be Luke 16, which we have looked at. Let's see that again. Luke chapter 16. The unjust steward. My faith and my money. Luke 16, you there? Where the master gave a certain steward goods and everything and money. Verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. The children of this world in their generation are wiser than children of light. That he has done wisely in the eyes of this world. Can you now see? So, how do I take his yoke upon me? I'm going to be just with finances. I'm going to be faithful with finances. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? He has done wisely according to the world. But that's not the yoke of Christ. That's not the knowledge of Christ. Alright? Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness, that when you fail, they might receive you to everlasting habitations. Can we read verse 10 to 13 together? We are rich is facing that which is much. And he that is unjust in that which is least also in much. If therefore you have been faithful in your righteous mammon, commit your own, no servant can serve two masters. For either we hate one and love the other, or else we owe to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. And the funny thing is that it's only money that the Bible compares to God, no other thing. There's nowhere else in the Bible where it says, you cannot do this and this. If I not no other gods, he bashes every other god. But when it comes to money, Jesus is very, very specific. He said, You can't serve God in money. He says, if you are faithful in little, the Bible did not say you'll be faithful in much. He said he's already faithful in much. If you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, he said, who will commit to you true riches? No one. And so Jesus gives a commentary about money. And he says, faithfulness is key. Faithfulness. So, Jesus teaches how we ought to be faithful with money. I'm not yet to see financial freedom. Who am I to? How much do I have? I'm not worth $1 billion yet. So why would I stand? It's funny that most people who teach financial freedom, they themselves, I saw one advert on, was it on Instagram? And you can imagine, this guy wanted to take a master class. Master class on financial freedom, busting out of the market. What other terms I use? Give it to me. I'll look at it. What other terms I use? I know people to look at in this church. What other terms I used? I'm only, yeah, talk. They teach it in you like, how to get the money back? Oh, really? Jamala, give it to me. No one but one. Yeah? So I wanted to do that master class and all, and he was going to do master class for 1,000 naira. If you are truly financially at liberty, the way you claim, Egberuka, you like 1,000. Like Bro Michael would say, 1,000. So how many people are going to offer one? You are not financially liberty. You are looking for food to eat. Both of us are in the same class. Let us do master class for ourselves and find a way out. Stop deceiving me. One guy wanted to teach one, he said you will learn 30 tech skills. And when I saw 30 tech skills, I was shocked because I want to learn tech skills. And so app development. App development. Excel is a tech skill. Excel. How to compress PDF. That is a tech skill. It's a measure 30 stupid horrible things that you do normally. Say with your mobile phone. And you do it for 500 naira. I just said, bros, you will eat in Jesus. This one, you're not teaching anybody anything. You're just hungry. Hallelujah. And so, how did I get to this unrighteous mammon? There's something I must have said that will lead to this example. Alright, yes, so, I'm not an authority to talk about money, that's what I'm saying. When I start talking about money and how you can make it, we should all sit together and find a roadmap. Amen? So, I'm not here to talk about financial freedom. I'm here to talk about your faith in Christ and how you handle unrighteous mammon. How you handle money. Don't let us, demonize it. Because the reason why all of us are working is money. There is nobody that does not like money. You like money, I like money. Your daddy likes money, your mommy likes money. Amen? Don't demonize it. There's no... If you demonize it, are you not going to eat? After church? You not buy buns? Eh? Will you go to the bed and tell you what I say? Masuti and Dalaka Susa. Ebrabo Shodiya. Ah. Makoso Tolubaya. I receive. Say, what do you see? Healing? Fresh fire? It can't be my boss. Amen? So that's why we are all working. Yeah? I remember when we finished school, some people say, I came to medical school for the love of life. Oh, yeah, start saving lives. They should not give salary. Unless you have much lives, you will earn more lives than you save. Amen? So don't demonize it. So we are teaching how to undo what is not eternal. And so Jesus says, when you are faithful, if you can trust Him with money, you'll be able to trust Him with money. Again, last time we established that, unlike what is, Hyrule was everywhere. Almost, you know, where what we hear in most places, where you give to get something back from God. That is not true. That is not true. God does not give people with conditions. The Bible teaches that He causes His sun to shine on both the just and the unjust. If God is the one that just blesses people because they give to Him, then I tell you Christians will be the richest people on the earth. Right? I should be part of them too. I think so. Because I've emptied my account on numerous occasions. Numerous. It's not something you can start counting now. I mean, for the gospel. Not even glorious ushers of that. Way before glorious ushers started. You know? For missionaries. Missionaries I don't know about. I've never seen them in the field. You know? But they are trusted. There's a mission foundation I follow. So they have registered missionaries with them. So you just pick one. Random, and then you send to them. You know, so I should be one of the richest, but that's not it. God causes His rain to also go or fall, if there's anything like that, on both the righteous and the unrighteous. His gifts are unconditional. So you must not add it in that sense of when you give to God, He now multiply it like MMM or like investment. No. And that's why most Christians, or why am I saying most? That's too assumptuous. Some people give not to God, they give to their greed. What they are doing is not worship. What they are doing is business. It's not worship. Because true giving, listen very well, is the worship of God. It's the worship of God. Don't forget that woman at the well. Jesus said, if you know the one who is asking you to give water, to give water, you would have given him. And in return, he would have given you everlasting water, which you never touched again. And then, the conversation just went to worship. You say in this mountain is where men ought to worship, because giving is very, very synonymous to worship. And that's why you see Moses in the Old Testament asks them to bring stuff to the temple. Bring to the house of the Lord, for the Levites of course. Bring to the house of the Lord. So. Then Moses will say, listen very well. If it's too big to carry from your city to the temple, what did he say you should do? How many remember that teaching? You sell it to money. Come back to money. When you get to the city, you go and buy those things that you are meant to buy. The cocoa is, bring it to the temple. Does that make sense? And he used that to teach, of course, when you get temple, that's worship. He used that to teach the worship of God. There's no way you are going to say you actually born of God or you trust in the Lord and you also trust in money. In fact, one of the very separating elements and founding hallmarks that a man is in very well, is growing spiritually, is how less he treats material prosperity. In the way he acts, in the way he reacts, when you start seeing someone that, when he didn't have money, was sweeping church. I know that brother, Ali. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. He's in work, he's in technical, he's in music team, he's in everywhere. Because he doesn't have money. Then when he had money, let's edify one another. Sumbo ko. Saliwan. Sumbaraka. Legede. Tongue has changed. He can no longer speak in tongues. That's for poor people. You know? His tongue has changed syllables. Me. It's now one two. One two. Mele. Bre. Brekete. Iko. Iko. Mene. That's the tongue of the pubs. Lebro. Lebron James, you are my pastor. Raka. Zebe. Bless you. I hear within me. There's nothing within you. Akamu. There's nothing within you. What within you? That's what like. Tolo, no, I do. Empty. Thank God that you have spirit. Nothing within you. Yeah, I hear within me. I hear just go. So because he has money now. Then the man lost his job again. Then he was back to church. You know, that's not a faithful Christian. When you want to know a true follower of Christ, his money has no bearing on the way he acts. His material, in fact, he's going to be a professor and he will not know. He's going to be a rich man in the natural and he will not know. Why? Because he's a faithful steward of the Christ. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? The moment you ask your status, you are not a disciple of Christ. Philippians 2 helps us understand that who being in the image of God thought it not robbery to take on the morphos, the body of man. That is Christ. Even though he was God, he did not act it. When he was born, he didn't start walking immediately. God in the flesh, God in the flesh. How many of you come here and say, are you okay? Do you know who you are talking to? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Everlasting Father. Me. Mary, crop. How many of you ask me? Back. That's it. You know, he didn't act God. He ate what men ate. He slept where men slept. The moment you start acting your status, you are not a disciple of Christ. You are not a Christian. Christians don't pride, listen very well, in what is not eternal. Our joy, true joy, lies in what Christ has done and what he is doing now. So, again, you can't be acting it. And so Jesus said you have to be faithful. And so he said, when you come into Christ, there are certain traits and habits, listen very well, that are formed in the new creation. Again, don't forget, the new creation is both Christ and his church. Right? In Christ. Abby, we have done that. So the new creation is both Christ and his church. So we are in the new creation. Fine. In the new creation, there are certain habits that are inborn. For example, patience, joy, long suffering. Those are things that you are not external. Nobody is teaching emotional intelligence. I don't know. People are paying millions for that. I don't know what they are teaching you yet. When someone talks against you, calm. You can do it. I've always done it. How can I be paying 1 million for you to tell me to be calming down? Even that boy said, calm down, mommy. That's emotional intelligence. When the church goes on between it, of course, I don't understand this one. Yeah, I walk in the spirit every time. Amen. Emotional intelligence. That's the rainy one now that motivational speaker is to sweep your money out of your account. Just be a Christian. Is that too much for us? Just walk in the spirit. In that you will find joy. In that you find patience. You find long suffering, kindness. Which one again is an emotional intelligence that you don't have? Hallelujah. In fact, I think even employers now make it compulsory. So there's a way to ask. You do like this. Take a deep breath. After taking a deep breath. Sorry for that. That is when I will go crazy, we still go crazy. After taking a deep breath, we still slap you. So we don't need emotional intelligence. You just need to be born again. Be born again, walk in the spirit. Enough. All your employees will be cool. Amen? But how did I get to this one? Oh, so there are traits like that. Long suffering, forbearance, forgiveness. Paul said, even as Christ has forgiven you, you will now forgive others. Ephesians 4. By chapter 5 verse 1, I say, be imitators of God, little children. So again, there are things that we get in the new creation. We are born with it. It's part of us. Patience, joy, trusting God, conviction to preach, love, faith. And another one of such is giving. Those who are born of God, we also demonstrate this noble attitude of giving. Selfishness never glorifies God. It has never. It has never glorified God. It's as devilish as it comes. when the only person you think about is you, then something is wrong. I'll say it again. You don't have to be a pastor. When the only person you think about is you, every time you are spending something is you. Every time something is about to happen, you first look at how does this favor me? How does this affect me? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. So, it's devilish actually. It's the wisdom not from above. So again, we said, giving is part of what we exhibit in the new creation. Say giving. That's not everyone. Say giving is what part of what we exhibit in the new creation. Alright, so we establish that we don't give to get back. We give in response to God's graciousness. So, if that is it, then the motive behind giving is more important than the gift. The reason why I am giving is more important than the gift. You know, we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, Abby, where Paul said, even though if I bestow all my goods upon the poor, and I have not love, there is nothing. Imagine I sell everything I have, everything, and I give it to the poor. Paul said, it's nothing if I did not do it out of love. But that's big deal. That means, I sell everything I have, I don't know how much I'm worth, but if I sell everything I have, and I give it to you, I know you'll not be the same again too. Right? Right? And he says, Paul says, I've done nothing. If it was not done out of love, that's something. That tells you that it's not the gift. It is the giving. It is not the gift. It is the giving. It is the giving. Look at that widow. In Mark 12. In Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. Verse 41. And Jesus sat over the treasury. And behold, the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. So, if that happened this day now, they will say, the pastor is a greedy person. That's why we'll be looking at offering. What Jesus was doing is, he was not carrying the offering basket. Let me see what you put. I remember, I was in a particular meeting where the pastor did it. Intentionally. And he said, how much did you put? I mean, this is someone who doesn't preach, he's not unfaithful with money. And so I know very well, at least. I said, how much did you put? He said, how much, fam? Oh yeah, put money. Yeah, you, how much? Which is the proper conduct, actually? You know how much? I don't know, whoever told you that offering basket is for 50 naira. Whoever told you that can't offering, you will know. Whoever told you that offering basket is for 200 naira. Whoever told you that you cannot put 10,000 naira in an offering basket, I don't know where you learned that one from. If truly you are giving to God, you should be able to put 100,000 naira in an offering basket without anybody saying, knowing that you are the one. But no, if it's 200 naira, the one that you know that Olokada will not collect. So when now that he's even tired of these words himself, that's it. God does not discriminate. It's never about the gift. It's about the giving. As he gives, they are the giving. This one, they give the one that most cannot eat. What has eaten? you know, can enter every treasure again. What has eaten it? Shall no long. So, Jesus sat over the treasury. He said, those that were rich casting much. In verse 42. And there came in a certain poor widow. Again, poor is Mark's description. And she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. Actually, a farthing. It's called farthing. It's an old currency. I learned this from one of my patients. I asked her to buy something. Now, you probably listen to this. So I asked her to buy a knee brace. She had arthritis. And she said, she's Swiss. So she said, I've got no brass padding. And then what's that? And he said, that's the least currency in those days, padding. And it's brass. So if you want to say someone is poor, you better have brass padding. Like, that's all she has, like this widow now. that she does not even have that brass farthing. So I learned it that's over a year ago now. So the woman had brass farthing. I like her. She's the English is very. So, and he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, can we read what he said to them? Want to go? Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast out in out of their abundance, but she of her wants did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Of course, this is a word of knowledge. Definitely, right? So she has cast in everything she has. And so, it's not about the gifts. It's about what was the attitude behind the giving. Is it making sense? Even though she cast in what you have got the little. You get what I'm saying? Imagine someone putting a check of $3 million. US dollars or Canadian dollars. And then someone comes in with that ton 200 naira. Which is all that the person has. Just so you know that I'm not bashing 200 naira. Is it making sense? So, I come in with 200 naira, which is all that I have actually. In fact, after church, I don't know what I will eat. I just know that I want to give that up. And someone else got 3 million and Jesus said, the 200 naira is bigger than the 3 million. You'd have said, Lord has said, yo, no. I know you know all things, but well, Jesus is telling that the giving is more important than the gifts. No deeper funkin' Ananias and Sapphira. You get the point. They sold their everything. They sold their lands. I mean, they sold all the lands they had. Not one. And they gave. But you know the issue? Eh? They kept back parts. Now, the issue is not that they kept back parts. The issue is that nobody forced them to give it all in the first place. I sold my land. And I come to pastor and say, this is all the money I sold my land for. Why? He didn't ask you to bring everything. Why did you now keep back part of it? You get what I'm saying? Imagine the kind of gesture they already had. Selling your land. And Peter said, you have lied against the Holy Ghost. Peter's words. And I will do to you something. Something's light. Something light. Are you ready to die? Say no, too late. They are already waiting for you to take your body out. And they did. He had what he said. He was there when Jesus said, you can have what you say. In fact, it was one I said, the fig tree. So I will practice this one day. Fig tree, I will practice this one day. And then I had another comment. At least church has not started. Very well, very well. That's it, that's fine. The widow's mind, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold everything, yet it was a selfish giving. You know, they could have just sold one land and just give the money. They would have just given half of the money and said, this is what we have. For husband and wife, they now co-night. Said, what we are going to do is, we are going to win this award for giving. That is anything like that. Not in this church. We never have it. Jesus will. Bless our word for giving. What kind of nonsense is that one? Like, I am looking at the rationale behind it. Doesn't make any sense. Why are you giving to me? Even though you should give it to me. But, why would I be the one to reward you? Even if they want to reward you, you should be saying, no, please. No, please don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, you wonder how I heal. You now take a picture. Put it on Facebook. I work for best giving of the year. At the end of the year, I work for Uga. I don't know who you are. Put myself here. So it's not about the gifts, like Ananias and Sapphira. It's about the gifts. It's about the attitude. Are you giving or are you just selfish? What giving aims to do, listen very well to this, what giving aims to do is to break a hold of selfishness in your life. It's to break a hold of trusting in material prosperity in your life. And so if it has not achieved that, then it needs to achieve it. You should be able to give
sacrificially, like David. In 2 Samuel. Let's see what David said. Very popular scripture. 2 Samuel 24. Learn something. Suddenly when it comes to money, nobody talks again. Learn something. Unrighteous mammon. 2 Samuel 24. In verse 24. And the king said to Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it of you at a price. Neither will I offer, 2 Samuel 24:24. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, or that which does not cost, or that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. So David was going to offer sacrifice to God. And the person willingly said, no, you are the king, take it. King, I'm so glad I'll be part of your sacrifice to God. He said, you are me. I cannot offer to God what did not cost me anything. It must cost me something. Because the aim of the giving is to break a wood or something. So why would I just, you get what he was saying? So why would I just do like this? It didn't cost me anything. It needs to cost me something. Again, you can't listen very well. You can't claim to love God and you are not giving. When you meet Jesus, one of the things that force change is priority. And that's why Jesus said, you still want to be my very father. You have not met. So you are not just laying your hands on the floor. You are hugging the floor. You are not fit. When you meet Jesus, money starts to lose sense. See Zacchaeus, for example. Someone who has spent all his life amassing wealth. He has spent all his life, becoming something of worth for himself and his family. And then just one night, one visit from the Christ. Just one night. He said to dash it out. He just said, why are you doing that? It doesn't make any more sense. You guys sang that song this morning? My wealth is in the cross. Did you sing it with them? Why are you serious when you're singing? My wealth is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know. Say, don't cry. I have found goodness as love. The greatest of my crowns means nothing to me now. I've counted off the cost. Is that just melody to you or consecration? Because it's not as sweet as it sounds. I know what I'm saying. It's not as sweet as it sounds. My wealth is in the cross. Are you sure? Are you sure if Christ makes a demand today, you can say, I've counted up the cost. You make more sense. Can you? You know, there's something you just say by melody. Consecrated, I will be. We told you nothing, Lord, I'm yours. We told you nothing, Lord, I'm here. What's the part? You now we told nothing. You get the point. What's the part? Ten dog, auto, terrible. I think it was basic buzz. I know it. I'm just kidding. You know, but you now we told nothing. What's the other part of the song? Told you nothing, Lord, I'm yours. I will be born for your name, for your glory, for your praise. Lord, I give myself to you. What's the beginning? There's a fire that is burning with it's really, I'm doing it somewhere. Only be coloring it. Every time I sing it, it's always eating me deep. Did I see you face to face? You know that that's the part I'm talking about. Now I didn't see it. I'll be leaving. I'm always the one telling you to repeat. I'll be leaving for your cause. Till this flesh one day I will leave. They are not, it's not a sweet song. I always hear people doing singing sweet. It's not a sweet song. It's the song which hates most. Because it's a song that takes all your life. And so, it's not about just Sing it. It's not about just saying it. Zacchaeus met with him and he was ready to part with. He was ready to become the poorest man in the land. Why? He's faithful with it. He'd be faithful with much. I now see why Jesus will go to his house. Amen. Amen. So when you meet Christ, there are certain things that change. See David, a king. And he still wants to give God something that will cost him. Something that will cost him. Because giving is worship. You know we saw that already in Philippians 4:18. Abi? Philippians 4:18. A gift, they said they gave to me like a sweet smelling odor. Let's look at Philippians 4:18. Which I told you that he took it from Leviticus 1:9. Philippians 4:18, you there? Once you go. I have received of Leviticus the things which were sent from you. An odor of sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable. Well pleasing. So, Paul is calling your giving a sacrifice. A sacrifice well acceptable. So giving is sacrifice. Sacrifice for the propagation of the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 8:18, we have seen that. So we need to imbibe a good art of giving. Like I said, when you meet Jesus, things change. Even in offering. I've not heard this one before. But even in the offering, it should be something that's actually an offering. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's called an offertory. It should be an offering, a sacrifice. Why do we give offerings? Let me tell you. Wherever God's word is taught and practiced, you ought to give something in return. And I remember when we first started church, I had to correct the cell leaders at the point. Abi? Especially Broshola? Abi? Abi? Especially you. I had to correct you. He doesn't like just getting to that part of money. That place of money, he doesn't like it. I said, oh. Everywhere God's word is taught. You are not demanding it. It is proper. Are you listening to me? Of course, if you know that if there's someone who does not, how do you call it now? Make merchandise of God's word. I think I'm the one that don't. I will never in Jesus' name. I'll never stray the sincerity of God's word for money. It won't happen in Jesus' name. As you can see, it's a prayer. I'm not full of myself. I'm praying for myself. And so I'm teaching you what God's word is. When the word of God is taught to me, the proper response is to respond. Galatians 6:6. Let's see that. Galatians, thank God we're in Galatians in our study of the books. Galatians 6. Can we read verse 6 together? Want to go? Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in what? All good things is not text messages. Let me actually it's all carnal things. Things of this world. I will give you the cooperative text to that. Things of this world. Things that you will see. A text message is good. You know, God bless you, Broshola. Thank you so much for helping my life. You are all in all. You are my sweetheart. And the one I love. Even though I doubt all of that, he will probably send you a text back and say, love you too, sister, with the love of Christ. Thank you, Sister Judith. I love you from my heart. So. I wrote me one like that. One time. Not here, not in this church. I said, what so? It wasn't so, but it knew I was handwriting on the wall, Lele. What kind of dream is this? After drawing anything, so. You know, after doing all the so, I appreciate you. You are the best in the world. It's okay. You will not respond properly. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the way Paul taught in Romans. So you know that he's not just teaching in church in Galatians, in church in Rome. Romans 15. So, after the so, my wife so. He said, let him respond. Let him that is taught in the word. So for every time you are taught God's word, you actually have a duty. You actually have a duty. Of course, not every preacher is going to stand on this and say it must happen, but it's your duty in Christ. The way you have a duty to pray when you are taught God's word, right? You know, you have a duty to meditate on God's word when you are taught. You also have a duty to give to the one who taught you. You know, sometimes we, listen very well, I've said this before, we idolize what is not meant to be. For example, I remember one time in this church, I think we were going to have a glory camp meeting, and I think it happened like 3 times before that. And then, a newcomer that just joined church, and I said, who is coming to preach? He didn't believe that I'm still the one that will preach. Let's bring him. Or what? Or what exactly? The preacher is coming. What is he? Is he another Bible that will bring? Because I don't understand. For what exactly? Now, that we've brought in a preacher before, once. So, that's not an issue. It's not the issue of bringing a preacher. What the issue is, why do you think that ought to be the case? Because oftentimes, we don't honor what we have. And familiarity is a bastard. Familiarity just takes away the blessing. So, you get so familiar with the teaching so much that everybody now wants to exchange pulpits. So, this pastor will go to this church. Then your whole pastor goes here. Why? So that the members will not get too familiar. What kind of members do you have? What kind of members are you raising that they have itching ears to listen to another? And so, when such minister now comes, there is such honor that is now accorded, that is not even accorded to the local church pastor. That is the height of dishonor. Jesus said, a prophet is without honor, but in his own place. He was not saying what ought to be a norm. He's saying this ought not to be. Because eventually they were not healed of their sicknesses because of that dishonor. Why would you honor another pastor over yours? It's an aberration. It's what ought not to happen. It's not meant to happen. If you see the ways of believers honor another pastor, and you wonder, particular sister like that, I said, I know you don't treat your pastor this way. Because I know very well, this one I know. You don't treat your pastor this way. Why did you do that? I've been blessed by his ministry. Hey, I've been blessed by his ministry so much. Hey, it's auto. Then what you should do is just go there. Don't be the one that corrupts the entire lump. If you feel that another will bless you better, please go. But the moment you are somewhere, you give your commitment there. And so, you now see, people who have never served their own pastor's water, they now start bringing drink. Because he's a guest, he should not look bad. They now start bringing drink. So I say, hi, are you okay, sir? I think of protocol, protocase, protocress, everything. Here you go, as it's coming. Yeah, red carpet, blue carpet, green, everybody's doing, it's a special minister. Then your own pastor that has been praying for you, he comes in. You are not a disciple. What has just happened is dishonor. And doesn't come with the blessing. Your honor is to the one who labors over you weekly, daily, monthly, yearly. And I've always thought this. Someone reached out to me on the Instagram. And he says, so blessed me, Kineko, mentioned the particular teaching. I've forgotten the teaching. He says, so I want to give. I said, I'm sorry, I might not be able to take this without the permission of the pastor. So the pastor knew about that this thing is blessing. He said yes. I said okay. Then the pastor actually reached out to me. He said they actually have been listening, GHC Media. Thank God. And I said that the brother even called him before he came to give. I said gladly, amen. Gladly. We are not selling the messages. Abi, Pam, if we put 50-50 now on those messages, per downloads, glory. You understand? 50. Just 59. In a month, there are thousands of downloads. Come on. That means every month, at least I'll be getting something. That's not God's plan for GAC Media. Amen? But that didn't stop someone from responding. Because that's the proper thing to do. Let him that is taught in the world, let him respond. You find people who are not even taught God's words. I mean, Galatians 6:6 is not for them. You know, it's the language that is taught in the world. Anyway, there's no word. And yet they are responding to the ministry of the pastor. And yet we have believers who are being labored over. who have been taught God's word in yourself, everywhere, back to back. Have you seen the same manual before? Eh? You have seen the same manual before. You've seen the way it looks. Year one alone. Then you have year two, year three, year four, year five. Have you seen the way your cell leaders pray? You guys have 2 vigils in the month, yeah? Eh? And prayer meetings. Now, after laboring over that, then you now see and say, you are getting blessed. You need to be blessed, are you blessed? That's dishonor. It is a bad thing when we say people don't cherish what they have until it's gone. It's not what it's meant to be. I see it over and over again where people only now discover the worth of what they have when it's gone. I mean, that's happened to you before. That happened to me before. Let me see your hands. That happened to you before. It was my mom passed on. Then I started telling people, cherish your mother. You will not know. I'm the one that is telling you now. Abi? Experience. Cherish your mother. But I see someone treating him, I say, why are you doing like this now? He said, how you come and treat your mother well? You know? That time my mom would say, just stay around now, why are you going to play ball? I'll see you later. You know? How about if I had just stayed more? Come on. No, not that this is why you have changed, I don't know. But if I just stayed more, what if I enjoyed? That ought not to be the case. That you now cherish something when you have lost it. Cherish what you have. Let him that is struck the word, let him respond to him that teaches in all good things. In Romans 15, that's where we are. Verse 27. Is that? Let's read what Paul said. Want to go? It has pleased them verily that their debtors they are, and their debtors they are, huh? For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is to minister to them what? Aha. Uh-huh. If the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things, then their own duty is also to partake out of their carnal things. So if I minister to you spiritual things, I actually have a duty to be a partaker of your carnal things. That's what God's word teaches. You might not like it because of the state of your heart, or because you're not committed. It's okay. But that's what God's word teaches. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. So this is not just taught in one church. Paul ensured that almost everywhere. Oh yeah, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 9, 11. Once you go. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Verse 14. Even so are the Lord ordained that those who preach the gospel should what? I was talking about them feeding. Because you look at verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of with the altar? Does that make sense? That is, if you preach, you should be also be living off it. Now that many people have gone to full-time ministry and all of that, which I believe you should still work, because Paul who said it's work. But you get the point where you are not working. Definitely, you can't even remember Pastor Adibu, you should still be going to office 9 to 5. Why is Pastor Adibu buying jets? I mean, some of the gospel. Why would they buy jets for him? Why would they buy jets for him? He mentioned it on Facebook, so he thought I would take side because he knows that, me, I like poverty or death. He said, why would his members buy jets for him? Which one is paying him? The jets? The old man? Or that they bought the jets for him? Everything. That means of God wants to be, somber. That's why your life is sober. Someone has churches in almost 170 nations in the world. And if you still be struggling economically with you are a wicked person. Even if it's not church, it is business. Don't just have business in you. Have business in every state in Nigeria. See how it looks. Traveling around. Don't talk about churches. He has to minister almost everywhere at the point. Now he's old, he doesn't move around much. But at the time, he has to be going all around. Almost today, North America. I'm talking about continents. I'm not even talking about nations. Continent. North America tomorrow, Africa. Next tomorrow, he's in Antarctica now. He's in South America. Is in Europe. And you know Europe, how big Europe is? That is not a private jet. You are a wicked person. Now, apart from that, which of the members messaged you? That was the question I said. Did they raise GoFundMe? And they messaged you that you should drop 5 naira there. He said no. So why is the devil using you? Did he message you? You were there by there. Bye. He did not message you, uncle. I want to buy jet for Baba. How much do you have? How, what will you now say? You go and do print ads on newspaper. You buy one page. Why minister of the gospel? I said, you are just ungrateful. The people who you have blessed, they will do it for you. And they will gladly do it. Someone bought skinny for his pastor. What is Instagram? Hey, take the yoke of Christ. What social media will make you do is to envy people you should pity. The people that naturally, if you know the state of their life, you'll be shaking your head. You will not start handing them. Why? The ground. What is your mode? What is snap beside car or car? What am I speaking over? He has taken pictures beside someone else's car. And so, by the time you see that, you say, ah, God, when? You are better or not? Amen? He says, if we have sown to you spiritual things, is it too much? Like, see the weight. Is it too much to reap of your carnal things? Yet, many believers withhold. And they just think it's the job of the pastor to just keep sweating out. Even if it's in the natural. Someone decides to be teaching you. I remember there was a woman I was showing you on my birthday. She used to teach me English. Mommy Aniola. She used to teach me English. When I was, you know her, right? And then she was giving me my birthday. She said, happy birthday, my pastor. This woman that was teaching me English is GS3. So it's a long time coming. You know? And every time I'm going to her place, she was preparing me for allowing the exam at the point. Every time I'm going to her place, my mom would package things. And I used to wonder, what? Is she not the one that said she wanted to do it? Because I'm stupid. That's done, being childish. My mom would package something. Even when she doesn't have something, even if it's a bunch of banana, just say give it to her. When you get there, just drop it. That's in the natural. I mean, English. As common as it sounds. English language. That, I don't know if I would have passed it without her. Maybe not that much. But yes, what my mom invited is, so, that attitude of giving back, it doesn't even commensurate. She would have eaten without me taking it there. It does not commensurate. Banana and English. So when you see me speak some grammar and some vocab, it was from a child. I mean, this woman poured her life into me. Literally. Gave books to read and everything. And she was always beaten. So it doesn't commensurate. You get what I'm saying? But yet, you have to respond. You have to respond to your cell leaders. To anyone who has taught you God's word. I do that every year. At the end of the year, every year. Apart from what I did in the middle of the year, so that you know. Every year. Everyone who has taught me God's word. There's no time I'll not do something that I don't have to announce it yet. Something remarkable for them. At least for Christmas. Maya Abaramoreje. I don't know how to interpret that one. Someone who he has shown goodness was ungrateful. Like I said, it's not the gift. It's not the gift. If it was about the gift, the widow would not even feature in Jesus' story. It's not about the gift. It's about that attitude. And that's why you have people, you have a guest minister. He has come, probably not even thought half of what your pastor would teach. Half. He said, oh yeah, you got so. And then your own pastor is there. Then where's the encouragement? Where's the gratefulness? That is stark dishonor. Stark dishonor. A stark dishonor. You don't do that. It's a sin. Hallelujah. Don't do that. The one you owe your gratitude is the one who labors with you. If you have had another, would you have found a way of ensuring that things look good? So that they don't say beyond ourselves, they don't even appreciate the minister. Would you have found a way, eh? So how come you now commonize what your pastor does? I'm not talking about myself now. I'm talking about what the scripture teaches. He taught it in another church. He taught it to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 5, who is the pastor of the church in Ephesus? By the way. 1 Timothy 5. So we need to imbibe that good attitude. 1 Timothy 5. Are you there? Can we read verse 17 to 18 together? Alright, I want to go. Let the elders, that rule well, be counted worthy of, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that threshes out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of what? Let them that rule well. What does it mean to rule well? That says, those who labor in word and doctrine. It says, let them be counted worthy of double honor. What is the honor? Wages. The laborer is worthy of his wages. He said, what Moses said, do not muzzle. Don't muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. Don't muzzle it. We'll take that as a teaching much more later. The teaching on so from the Old Testament to what you have as the epistles. Don't muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. It's an abnormal. Don't slave those who have slaved themselves for you. Don't make it look like slavery. Let them be counted worthy of double honor. So you have them in mind. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So you give where you are fed. You give where you are fed. I wanted to call faith. But faith would be a bad example for this one. When you go to KFC, because faith will never go to KFC. I always keep embarrassing here. When you go to KFC, bro, where can? Damola, these are my examples. When you go to KFC and they give you food in KFC, you now take your ATM card to Chicken Republic. They will beat you here. You get what I'm saying? It's not done anywhere. You give where you are fed. You give where you are fed. Those who labor. So, the local church is the primary place where we ought to give. Because that's where we are fed God's word. Again? Number one person we ought to give to, those who labor in word and doctrine. Abi? We give them double honor. Those who, the same person is the one who has taught us the word. Abi? Galatians 6:6. Right? The same person is the one who has shown to us spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 9:17. Abi? The same person is the one who has blessed us with spiritual things. Who we are partakers of the spiritual things. Romans 15:27. Abi? That's the first place to give. Where the God's word is taught. So let's say, for example, Prophet, this is Sister Deborah. Oh, no. Who is your study group? Sister Ginika. Okay. So, Sister Ginika finished his study group, and then Prophet looked at his study group, and then there was a review, and then he had to correct you. Okay, next time, you want to explain this. Maybe, what's your last assignment? Joy is free. Maybe he said, okay, next time you want to explain, is it Joy is free? No, what is that? Spiritual wellness. Imagine. By any way, they are laboring over you. You don't even know your own assignments. Are you well like this spiritual? Because you just this spiritual awareness and you don't know that you are well. Alright? And they are telling you, okay, fine. This is how you explain this concept. This is how you explain, let's say forgiveness of sin, for example now. This is how you explain forgiveness of sin. Next time, maybe you should have used this scripture before this one. Because this one will give you a temple. You get what I'm saying? He's explaining to you. I tell you very, very, I say unto you, that you ought to respond to that act. No matter how little. Anyone who labors over you in word. No, see what I just explained. See how very brief that one is. So you do this, you do this, you do this. But good work actually, good work. Well, you're improving, I see. Even if it's a drink, a cold drink, even if it's a tie, how much are they selling tie? Even if it's one plate of gari, that might be expensive now in this economy. But something from your heart. That was the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. They gave much, not with their heart. They gave much, but from a shallow place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My daughter recently, some children came to my office, and one of them brought biscuits, wrapped biscuits. I don't know how much they are saying, maybe 10 naira, 20 naira, 15 naira, whatever. Wrapped it in a gift. Maybe a 7-year-old or whatever. Biscuit. I took it, I was happy. Because I know that biscuit, he probably has even begged some person that's selling this now. Because he doesn't have money to buy biscuits. I know, we tell him, say, squeeze on holiday. So he could not have been that he was saving pocket money. You get what I'm saying? Or he could have just, you know, charge them that are rich in this world. You know, just based on one or two, collect it in here. And see how time to rap, sellotape, that kind of gesture will never leave my heart. It's not the gift. It's the giving, the act.
Are you getting what I'm saying? I was showing you now. If it not please me, you think I would be showing people that I collected this kit? I was showing that. See what this guy bought. And I will wrap Pepsi. Don't worry, I'm a fan of children. And I will wrap Pepsi. This is a Pepsi. Absolute food. But that's the art that you are looking for. That's the art that Jesus is looking for. Amen. So you give to those who labor over you. So as you go spiritually, it becomes a major in your life. If as you are teaching this giving and loyalty and commitment and response to God's word, it's making you uncomfortable, then something needs to change. Something needs to change with the way you treat money. Something needs to change with the way you treat money. You must treat money, listen very well, the way you treat utterance. Do you hold it back? This I'm not going to give utterance to you.
My own utterance.
My own utterance. I'm not giving utterance. Utterance will not be finishing. Aha. Is there when you please it, masuka again, red dawn, skita, level, shell everything else here? Is it time for the others? Is it time for glory? Is it time for, that's the way you will now give. Is it making sense? Now that Paul will teach that anyone who you are going to entrust with leadership in local church, he must be generous. If you like, you should speak with tongues from today to tomorrow. You should work in miracles like this. Me, personally. If you don't check that box, not just generous to me, not just generous to the church, generous to people who are needy around you. People who you know that they need something. You must be hospitable. You must have that hospitality. I've seen it in a lot of our church members, which is commendable. It shows that you are allowing God's word bear fruit in your life. It's commendable. When I hear it, I smile and I give glory to God. Don't be self-centered. It is devilish. That's never happened yet. Nobody has told you, God wants, 20 people to give, 50k. I've never done it before. It has never happened before. It can happen. You see that one? That one can happen. Because it's your church. So I can say, I won't say God. There's no need for God. I want 20 people to give. It's your church. You think it's angels that are pissing inside the generator, like I always say. And the generator is on. Or you think, someone just came one day and we just met all these things here like this. Nobody bought them. Nobody paid the bill that installed it. We just met it here. The microphone dropped from heaven. I just dropped my hand like this. I just met it inside my bed. It was bought. And you are using it. You are listening to it. You are writing. You are speaking in tongues. You are getting utterance. You are going home. You are singing psalms. But that's what they got. You know what I'm saying? If you call something your local church, you ought to always partake in what is being done there. It's not just enough to sit down and hear God's word. You have to be a partaker. A participant. How much joy would you have when you know that you are part of what God is doing? How much joy? When you see something, maybe you say, oh, church is buying so. And then, every time it is used, you are getting blessed. Spiritually, physically, I'm not saying you are getting blessed. Your needs will always be met. That's it. It's not an incantation, no. It's Yoruba. That is, even if it remains small like this, for the child of a good person to enter peace, the insect, that insect, that fly, that brings life, even if it's that insect, it will bring life for you. God will always take care of you. If you do it, don't muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. Give to those who are needy around you. That was the church we had in the Acts of the Apostles, where they would lay all at the apostles' feet. That was it. They sold everything they had in Acts 4. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many were possessors of land and houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is interpreted as son of consolation, the Levite, of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is Barnabas. A Levite. By Moses' standards, he should be the one collecting the money. Because he's a Levite. By Moses' standards. By Moses' teaching. Yet, Barnabas would now sell his own land, and lay it at the apostles' feet. What does it mean to lay it at the apostles' feet? Doesn't mean that you now start putting bag of money on the pastor's leg. No. It means to put it in subjection to the church. The same way you have learning at the feet, right? Acts 22:3, where Paul said, I learned at Gamaliel's feet. The same way you have Mary learning at Jesus' feet in Luke 10, right? That same way you laid at the apostles' feet means that you put it in subjection to the apostles. What will they now do? They will now distribute it so that nobody lacks anything. We need to walk in the spirit more. Especially in the aspect of money. Never let greed take a hold of you. Break it. And like David said, I won't give to God what would not cost me something. Because it's worth more than gold and silver. Is that what you say? I won't trade you for silver or gold. I mean, but that's what you do every day. You are trading it. You respond to the word. Whenever you are taught God's word, always see it as a responsibility to give back. Is what Moses taught. Is what Jesus taught. Is what Paul taught. Give back. Give back. It's the reason why Jesus would not reject that boy's five loaves of bread and two fishes. He won't reject it. It's a response to the word. It's a response to the word. Must have that good heart. I trust God. And there's much more expression of the Spirit in us. Break away with the grip of money and possession. To be able to give to those who teach in word and doctrine. To accord double honor. And to be able to give to those who are needy around us. To be hospitable. To walk in the Spirit more. It's not enough to sit down and hear God's word. You don't put it to work. It's not about the gift. The widow's mite proved that. The boy's five loaves proved that. It's about the art of giving. It's about that art of giving. That art of giving. Where it doesn't make more sense than Jesus. Where you can truly say, withholding nothing, Lord, I'm yours. We need to walk in the Spirit more. We need to have much more expression of this virtue, this sacrifice, this offering, the sweet smelling odor unto the Lord. We must take action. And respond to the grace of God in His church. Like the church in Macedonia. Who in their abject poverty, they still gave. Or the church in Philippi. That Paul boldly said, you shared upon my shame. What a statement. He said, Paul said, when I was at peace, I got everything you sent from Epaphroditus. You shared out of my shame. What a phrase. No one I will say it to the church in Corinth. Poor, yet making many rich. Perplexed, but not in despair. Cast down, but not destroyed. Be the encouragement that some pastors need. Be the encouragement some believers need. Respond. Learn to know that money is not eternal. Like E.W. Kenyon said many years ago. He said, there's nothing in this world that has reality in itself. That has a reality in itself. He said, Satan only gives vain things. So what does he do? Money is not satanic. He only makes it vain. How does it become vain? When it's not used for the propagation of the gospel.
when we hold it, when we now make it look like that's all we live for, Satan is bringing vanity in.
You could stand up and say, I want to be the one to do the flash drives. We say we want to do flash drives for JC Media, put all our teachings there. They're about 15, huh? You know, you just put all the messages there and send it to missionaries, send it to North. There was a point that I wanted to convert them to Hausa, get someone to convert major teachings to Hausa language, to Arabic. Send them out to Arabic speaking nations. To French. Send them out to French speaking nations. Anything to ensure that people hear the gospel. But you see, all those ones will not come. We don't have books here. We have them in, how do you call it now? In manuscript here, and transcript here. They are in our repository. In lots. Personal ones. Teachings that will turn to books. Explaining God in Christ. Dialogue prophets. Salvation through faith. Ephesians. Galatians. Hope of his calling. Riches of his glory of the Lord's day. Exceeding greatness of his power. The revelation is knowledge of him. Those are books. But they are not going to turn to books. Automatically by speaking. No. It's when we give. I don't want to be able to buy books of glorious house church. I want to be able to see revelation in the knowledge of him. He says, I joy that wrote. Hallelujah. So we are going to be vessels. Vessels of honor to the glory of God. We are going to be mighty vessels that God is going to use in the earth. And our needs are met to do this. He will provide for us. He will meet our needs. More than we ask or think. Whatever we do in the natural is blessed. Our works are prosperous. So that we might have to give. Things are working fine. They are working well. Everything will be alright. So that we can have to give. We must express this grace. Respond to the word. And do not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. It's called a sacrifice. It's called giving. It's a sacrifice. If it costs you nothing, then what was it? Was it from your heart? Or you are just there? Let me just give him something. Some folks, the only time they give, they are selling that something is during birthday. Check yourself. Birthday. That means, 1 out of 365 days, you remember that someone taught you God's words. Shame. You need to grow. You need to grow. You need to grow. You need to grow. It's an attitude I learned from one of my friends. Since we were in secondary school, GSS 3 actually to precise. He started giving to missionaries. Specifically, Christ for All Nations. We were in Advonki. I used to teach in the school fellowship, Scots College there. And we used to go to secondary schools. We used to follow Uncle Solution. How many of you know Uncle Solution in Ibadan? The SU movement. I used to follow him to some places. Especially St. Anne's and some other places. To preach. I was not the one preaching, he was the one preaching. Uncle Solution, Adeyoju. Such memories. You know, and I saw his art of giving. I saw the way he gave. I saw the way he gave. He brought a lot of SU pastors there. And I saw these guys, they actually had money. They were not acting. And they pumped it. Whoever tells you that Christians don't have money, they lie. Have you seen those, some of those SU people? For deeper life pastors. Hey. You know what I'm saying? How you know what I'm saying? But they don't act it. They rather put it in the gospel. I'm not saying you are not going to be okay. I'm not saying you are going to feed yourself. I'm not going to say you are going to take care of your family. I've taught you that before. You have to commit it to your family. But the gospel is one.
First. It comes before you. As I said, it's a call that takes on your life. I'm yielding to the call. It's a call that takes on your life. You literally become second in your own very well existence. What a life. I'm a vessel of honor to the glory of God. Can we just pray for ourselves this morning? We consecrate ourselves to what God is doing in the earth. Just sacred words of obedience to honor what He honors, to treat as sacred what He treats as sacred, to treat as common what He treats as common. My priorities are the new creation. Just pray for yourself this morning. You have to strengthen yourself to do it. I won't allow money to get the better part of me. Even as my needs are met, more than I ask or think, even as God provides for me, even as my work prospers, even as more opportunities open for me in the natural, I'm praying for you. The work of your hands are blessed. More opportunities abound for you in the natural, so that you can have to give. You will never lack a good thing. Your family is taken care of. If there are sicknesses that are taking money away, they are taken away in the name of Jesus. If there are liabilities that are sucked about, you are healed now. Jesus, help me to respond to your word, to your servants, to the people you are using for me. Help my heart in all sincerity. Help my heart. Jesus shall know for me. Help my heart. The default sense of man is selfishness. Help my heart, Lord. I know you can do it. I've seen it in the word. Zacchaeus almost forsook all till Jesus stopped him. Help my heart. To trust you, but can I trust money? To know that you always come true for me. Pray for yourself this morning. The sacrifice of praise in my life will be, and the sacrifice of praise my heart will give. Greediness will have the best of me. I won't be self-centered. I won't be selfish. The Spirit of God is at work in my life, expressed in my doings, expressed in my givings. Right now, I'm consecrated for your will to get your gospel done on the earth, for Jesus to shine in the land, for grace and mercy to flood the earth. I'll be part of it. Part of that mighty army that gets the message of Christ across the nations. Part of that mighty army that gets the books of Christ. I'm part of that army. Amen. Alright. Don't share 2 minutes what you learned with your neighbor.